Evening, everyone. So I'm not used to being on this side of you guys and seeing the fronts of your faces. I think I like seeing the back of your heads a lot better. So if you guys could just turn around for me while I teach, that'd be great. Pastor Dave and Pastor Daniel are still away from us. Pastor David sends his love. He misses all of you guys greatly. He can't wait to be back in fellowship with you guys this Sunday. So in a minute here, we're going to pray. We'll get into our study and we'll ask for safe travels for them back home, that the sickness that they've experienced as well would just leave their household completely, and we would just be refreshed as he comes back refreshed, ready to give us a word in season. So let's pray, and then we're going to get into the word. We'll have the ushers pass out some Bibles. In fact, if you guys need a Bible right now, why don't you raise your hand while we're praying, and then the ushers will bring one to you. So, Lord, we come before you right now, God, and we thank you for this night, God. Thank you for the worship, Lord, and just how faithful you are, Lord, to just usher us right into your presence, God, and make everything just dissipate, Lord. The cares of this world, God, just the worries, the anxieties, the fears, Lord. There's fullness of joy when we're in your presence, God, and you are here in this place, God. And so we ask that tonight, Lord, as we come before your throne, God, and as we open your word, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would fill this place with your presence, God, and that we would leave here changed, God, that we would take that word that you've given, Lord, that you are about to give, that we would apply it to our hearts and to our lives, and that we would walk in it each day. In Jesus' name. Oh, and Lord, we do lift up Pastor David and Pastor Daniel. Just ask, God, that you would give them safe travels home. Bring them back to us refreshed. Let that sickness just completely leave their houses. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thankful that even when we do make mistakes like that, the Lord doesn't care. He just looks over and just laughs at it. So we're going to be in 1 John tonight, chapter 4. Verses 7 through 21, I've titled this message, Love is Greater Than Love. And we're going to read through it, and then we'll dissect it, and then you'll kind of get a feel for what I'm talking about here. 1 John is a great book. If you've never read it on your own devotionally, I encourage you to. I did that a little bit this week and just kind of looked at it. And John is in the Gospels. He's known as the Apostle of Love. You know, we see him on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper, leaning on him. He always referred to himself as the apostle whom Jesus loved. So it's very fitting that in this epistle that he's writing, he calls my little children to his little children, he is expressing that love that he experienced firsthand from Jesus. So we'll go right down from verse 7 all the way down to the end of the chapter. So let's start. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this phrase, God is love, or you're going to hear it a couple more times, so just keep that in mind, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, verse 10. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the substitute for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. And if we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. You notice that phrase coming up periodically too. God in him, and he in you, and you in him, and he in you. So that's important to remember too as we go through the study. Keep those things in mind. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear has torment. And he that fears is not made perfect or complete or come to full maturation in love. We love him because he first loved us. Verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God he has not seen. And this commandment have we from him, Jesus gave us this commandment, that he who loves God loves his brother also. So verse 7, John, he's transitioning in his letter to these guys from a few different topics. He was talking to them about heretical teaching that was coming in. There was a sect of people called the Gnostics in this day that were coming in. They were polluting the church, giving them false teaching, and John was encouraging them to, you know, stand fast to the word that they received, to stay in the truth of Jesus, that the Gnostics believed that Jesus wasn't a real person, but that he was a phantom, okay? And John's saying, no, I've seen him, and that's why he says a few times in here, we have seen him, I experienced him, I touched him, I laid on his chest, I knew that. So he's transitioning now in talking to us about the love of God. And so in verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Now, it says love is of God. So we think to ourselves, okay, perfect, love one another, love is of God. Well, so you have to really dissect this, because it's not as easy as just loving God and loving each other. It's different. The word love here, and it is the only word that John uses in Greek, there's different forms of it. It's called agape love. And agape love, we're going to define these terms of love because it's really going to help us to understand what love is and where we as a culture and a society have gone so wrong in love. Okay, agape love, it's the highest form of love. The Jews believe that it was stemmed from like the inmost parts of your being, your bowels, the depths of your soul. It speaks in Scripture of God's love towards humanity. Okay, the Bible says right here that beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And that word of is cool too when you dissect it, because the Greek form of it, it speaks of origin. Okay, so the word of here is used a lot of times in Scripture in lineages. Okay, so he begot and he is of, and he begot and he is of, so and so and so forth. So that means that the love, this agape love, is originated, it's produced, it's manifested, it only comes from God, okay? So that's agape love. It is the highest form of love. The Scripture also refers to it as charity. Okay, maybe you've heard that one as you've read before. If you have a King James, it says charity. So agape. Then there's phileo. Okay, phileo refers to affectionate love. It's the love that, like, you might hear some of your friends talking, oh, I love you, man, or I love you, girl, or whatever it is, I love you. You know, that's the affectionate. That's phileo love. That's Philadelphia, brotherly love. It's how we love one another on a friendship and an affectionate level. Storge. Storge is a love that's not really referenced that much in here, but it refers to the natural movement of your soul in love towards another being or relationship. So example, mother and child, father and child and parent, boyfriend and girlfriend, husband and wife. It's just your natural love that you have towards them because of the relationship that you have with them. It's more than affectionate for them, but it's more than affectionate, but it's also more than this next love that we're going to look at, eros. Okay, eros is the type of love that I think our culture and our society is the most familiar with. Okay, it speaks of a sexual passion. It's where we get our term erotic. And I think when we hear of things out in the media and on TV and in movies, when people are talking about love and love and love, it's not really love. It's not this love that God is asking us to love one another with. Okay, so if you're single here tonight and you're in a relationship, be careful when someone says to you, I love you, and make sure that the love that they're talking about isn't this eros, because it's easy. We could just sit here and say, I love you. But I also love popcorn and pizza and the Buffalo Bills, okay? But I don't have that love for them the way that I love my parents or my siblings, especially my brother Christopher. Beloved, let us not love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God. This is how we know that we are born of God, okay? That if this love that's being produced in you is flowing from your life, okay, that the love that you are incapable, so get this, the love, this is how you know you're saved. The love that you are incapable of producing on your own is flowing through your life. That's how you know. And you think about it, it's like, well, that's kind of hard. I can't produce this love. How do I do it? Well, John goes down as we continue, and he talks about the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Remember, he and him and you and him and he and you, that's that. That's how this produces. But I want to take a look at something too here, because Peter, if you remember in the Gospels, after Jesus rose and he met them on the beach and he prepared the meal, and it was right after Peter had denied Jesus, and Jesus asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? And Peter responds back and says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he asked him again, Peter, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And so on, and they did the sequence with him three times. But get this. He asked Peter, do you agape me? And Peter responded, Lord, you know that I phileo you. See, Peter knew that he was incapable of producing it, especially because of the things that he had gone through in his life up until that moment when he denied Jesus. Remember, he was the one that said, Lord, far be it from me. You know, you're not going to go to the cross. And Jesus had to rebuke him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter was so sincere in his endeavors to want to prove to the Lord his love for him, but he finally had to come to a place where he denied the Lord. And Jesus still looked at him with those eyes of agape and said, I forgive you. I restore you here. And he says to him, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter says, Lord, you know I phileo you. And then Jesus is so gracious with us and so compassionate, he comes down to his level on that third time, and he changes his tone. Because Jesus knew that Peter didn't have what it was capable of, just like he knows here tonight that we don't have what it's capable of. And he says, Peter, do you phileo me? And it says in the scripture that Peter was grieved within his spirit. Was he grieved because it's like, is he putting me on blast? He just asked me three times. You know, sometimes in school when your teacher tells you something three times, it's like, okay, this is important. When your parents tell you three times, you're probably going to be in trouble if you don't do it. But is he grieved because of that? Or I put this out there as I was studying, and I think, does he think that, okay, I'm grieved within myself because I now know what you were trying to tell me before, and it hurts me because I thought I could do it on my own. And Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo you. Peter understood that this agape love, it only comes from God. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Remember this phrase, God's nature is the nature of love, and whoever does not love this way does not know God. So we have to ask ourselves as followers of Christ that are here tonight on a Wednesday night, looking to God to give us direction and guidance for our life out there in this dark world. God, am I loving people the way that you want me to love, the way that you call me to love, the way that you love? Am I sacrificing myself? Am I denying myself? Am I loving in the same way that you do, sacrificially, denying myself, etc.? Treating people the way that you would have them be treated, God. Do unto others as you would have done to yourself. Am I loving people that way? That's a heart check that we have to ask ourselves every day. And if we're not loving people like that, that's okay. That's okay. That's when we come to the Lord and we say, God, fill me with your spirit. Be ye being filled. That's hard to say, especially when you're up here and at the dry mouth. Be being filled constantly, overflowing every single day, nonstop. Be filled. If you find your love is waxing cold and you find that people are just bothering you and grieving you and etc., it's just like, oh my gosh, I can't stand this person, then it's time to say, okay, Lord, and it's not something you got to broadcast to people like, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to love you the way that God loves you, but I really can't love you right now because you're annoying me and I don't like you right now. No, you just go to the Lord and you just say, God, give me your love for this person because you love them more than I could. You love them more than anything, God. You died for them. And we'll get into that right now in verses 9 and 10. This is the proof. Okay, this is it. This was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10, herein is love. He says it again. Manifested. Verse 9, it was manifested. It was shown to us. It is proven to us because of this action. This tells me that love is action. Love is not a feeling. Love is action. It requires something to be done. That's what love is, okay? And God does that. He gives us the proof of his love. He does the action. He does the thing necessary to show us what love is by, look, herein is love. Not that we loved God. No, no, no. Peter found that out. And I think John was using this maybe to take a dig at him, because him and Peter used to go at it sometimes. The apostle, so he goes, no, we not that we love God. Peter couldn't do it. But that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the substitution for our sins. That's the proof. That's the proof of God's love. It's funny, I was traveling for work the other day, last week, and I had this all-new white jacket that I had, and I was wearing it, and I had a cup of coffee on my way out from Rochester to my destination, so like right in the morning, okay? And I was, you know, in between airports and trying to catch flights, and I I knocked my coffee and it went all over my brand new white jacket that I had. And I was so bummed because now I'm going to be gone for 5 days and it's going to stain. It's not going to come out, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm just bummed the whole time about it. So, well, now it's a workout coat. So I just wear it to the gym or whatever like that. I get home and I'm like praying, like, God, please let this stain come out. Please let this stain come out. I put it in the washer, bleach it, stain removal, et cetera. It comes out. And I'm like, yes, God, this is how I know you love me. You let this stain come out. And it's like, the Lord, like, I felt like this moment with the Lord, and I, because as soon as I said it, I was like, that's so silly, like, that's so dumb, like, because the stain came out, he loves you? No, no, not because those little things that he does for us, like, when he, like, he gives us not only, like, the desires of our hearts, but the wants of our hearts, and, like, the things that we need, and also the things that we want. So it's cool when he does that, because it's like, yeah, I mean, he's our Father, you know, he wants to give us good things, he wants to bless us and stuff like that, but that's not what shows us his love. You getting that job, you getting that girl, that guy, that raise, that car, not getting in the accident, getting the mortgage approved, not having, you know, having the, enough money to pay your taxes or whatever it is, having those things, those are not the proof of God's love. The cross is. The cross is the proof of God's love. We don't need him to come down to our level because we look at it from a human perspective. He looks at it from an inhuman, an infinite perspective. He looks at it as a sense of like, it cost heaven everything to get us. It cost his son. It cost the blood of his son, the cross. If you are here tonight and you are questioning, does God love me? Man, it's just one thing after another. I can't catch a break. I don't know what's going on. God, are you even there? Are you listening to me? Do you love me? Here in verse 10 is love, that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be the substitution for our sins. We know that God loves us because of the cross, and that's the only proof that we need. If nothing else in this life ever goes our way again, the cross is enough. The cross is enough, period, and it has to be. And we have to remind ourselves, because I'm guilty of questioning, God, do you love me? I'm guilty of, why is this happening? God, you must be mad at me. God, why is stuff like this happening to me? What's going on? Why can't I catch a break? Why don't I have enough funds? Why am I not in this position in life? Why am I in this position in life? What's going on? Do you not still love me? Have you forgotten about me? No, this is love. This is how I've proven my love to you, how I've proven my love to humanity by sending my only son. My only son that I had to turn my back on. My only son that when they were mocking him and spitting on him and putting the crown of thorns on him and rubbing it around so that was blood dripping down his face and ripping his beard off. And what father in here, if they saw their son having that happen to him, would not step in and be like, all right, enough's enough, and start, you know, throwing haymakers, dropping people. Like, no, this is my son. You're not going to do this. But God did. But God did that for us. And when Jesus cried out and said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? And waiting for heaven to respond, and heaven was silent in that moment because God had to turn his back because he's holy. God finally responds by pouring out the wrath of God upon Jesus so that we would never have to. The propitiation, the substitution for our sins. That should have been me on that cross. That should have been us on that cross. That's love. Now in verse 11 and onward, now comes the hard part. John says to him, hey guys, this is what love is. Now it's your turn. Verse 11, beloved, if since God so loved us, agape, we ought also to love one another, agape. Okay? It's our responsibility, it's our obligation, it's our duty as followers of Christ to love the lost world the way that Jesus did. It's our responsibility, it's what we're called to do. It's what we're called to do. Jesus gave them that commandment, right? The lawyer, the Pharisee came to him and said, what's the greatest commandment? You know, love the Lord your God with all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength, your entire being, the completeness of who you are. And the second is just like that. Love your brother as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's equally as important. How can we expect to win souls out there if we're not loving each other in here? And then if we are loving each other in here, are we loving them out there? Do we look to people when they fall, whether they be in positions of leadership or presence or not, and we hear about them falling? Do we think, how could you? Oh my gosh, that person? Oh my gosh. Or do we love them? Do we love on them? And then the people out in the world, do we love them into the kingdom? Jesus said, they'll know that you are mine by your love for one another. So that means when people come in this building and they don't know the Lord, or they were asked to come and they're visitors or a family member from out of town, and they see us loving on one another, and they're like, what's going on there? Why is everyone hugging and telling each other they love them? Or why is everyone so friendly? Why am I getting hugged anytime I walk into the sanctuary? Why am I getting a handshake or a pat on the back or, hey, brother, good to see you, or anything like that? Why? Because that's how love manifests itself for us with each other. And when they leave those doors, man, something was different about that church. I don't know. And God uses that. God uses that to bring them back or to bring them to another church, to reinforce to them in their own personal lives when they're going through things that I still love you and I always have. Look to my son. Look what he did. Verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is made perfect in us. That word perfect means complete, full maturity. So it's not perfect like, perfect the way we think of it. It's perfected. It's mature. It's come to its full maturity. Now, what's cool is we look through this, and I thought this was really cool as I was studying it. Verses 12 through 17 parallel a lot of what John's saying to in his gospel in John 14 through 17. So it's almost like, was John recounting these experiences with Jesus before he went to the cross and now reiterating them and writing them to his hearers and just kind of remembering? Because John, when he around the same time that he wrote these, he was writing his gospel. So he's reliving this. Is it so vivid in his mind that he's reliving it? In verse 12, it says again, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is made perfect in us. So let me real quick just jump back over to John 14. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. If it distracts you, just listen. John 14, remember Philip came to Jesus and said, Jesus, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. Show us the Father. Jesus says to him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip, and that hast seen me? Thou that hast seen me hast seen the Father. And how is then thou show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? He said, if you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father. So John says here, back in 1 John, and I'm just going to keep flipping back, so if it distracts you, just listen. It says, no man has seen God at any time. Okay, so we know that God is spirit, right? God the Father is spirit, and no man can see him face to face because he's so holy, so pure, we would just be disintegrated. We'd be done because we're not. So he says, no man has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfect in us. So if we haven't seen God, but he lives in us now. If you've seen Jesus, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen God. So what this is saying then is this, is that as we love one another with the love of Christ that was within our hearts, and as we're giving that out to one another, to people out in this lost world, they will see God in us. Because they are seeing a reflection of Jesus. I mean, I've been praying about this, and for me, it's like, Lord, let me be a conduit of your love. I mean, isn't that our heart's desire as followers of Christ? Don't we want to be ones that go out into this world and we love on people so much, no matter what, that it's like they can see Jesus in us? Is that not what we desire? Is that not why we're doing what we're doing? Or is it just merely like, I'm going to heaven now, so I'm good? No, we're doing it because we have family and relatives that are probably flashing through our minds every single day that aren't saved, that are bashing the Lord on social media before I got here. Man, it breaks my heart. People closest to me bashing Jesus. And in my mind, it's like, man, like, you know, so many times we can get into a mindset of like, you know what, to hell with them, literally. Literally, because that's where they're going to go if they don't repent. And we can get that mindset like, eh, you know what, I've tried so many times with this person that I'm just done. Whatever. Whatever. But it's like, no, we can't do that. It's got to break our heart. Lord, break our heart for what breaks yours. Our family members, our relatives, our friends, our coworkers, people that we see constantly wherever we go in our own sphere of influence that we each have here. The cool thing about each one of our lives and each one of our stories and where we go is that we can't impact each other's spheres of influence, if you would, the way that we can. So, like, you can't impact the sphere of influence that I'm in the way that I can, and just like I can't with you. Only you can do that. Only we can do that. God has put us here for such a time as this in these last days to impact that world, to show the love of Jesus, to go out there and love people into the kingdom, to show them what a real relationship with Jesus looks like as we abide in him and we let his spirit flow through us. Verse 13, hereby know that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us his spirit. In John 14, 20, again, is John recounting this, it's Jesus said to them at that day, and he's talking in context here of the Holy Spirit, you will know that I am in my Father and ye are in me and I am in you. Same verbiage pretty much here that John is giving to us in here. Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his spirit. Back in John 14, Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, I'm not going to leave you here on this world as orphans. I'm going to give you the Comforter and he's going to guide you into all truth. And that's how you know that I am in you and you are in me and he is in you and we are in, you know, and so on and so forth. And so he shows us that we are his through the Holy Spirit that he's given to us, that is in us. And that's how we know, and we can be confident in that. Without the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, guys, we cannot produce this love. Because remember, as we said in the beginning, the love of agape is greater than any other love that's out there. And that love of agape is only from God. So without God living in you, you can't produce this. And we'll see that right here as it says down a little bit when we get there. Verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. John reiterating, we have seen him. We saw him face to face. All right, he's not a phantom. We've seen him face to face. Verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, again, God dwells in him and he in God. And if you read John 14 through 17, Jesus talks about a lot of these things where he talks about, you know, confessing him and that's how you'll know that he is the Savior of the world. But here in verse 16 is what I want to get to for a second. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us, for God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. Again, this word dwell, it could also be translated abide. What did Jesus say in John chapter 15? I am the vine. He who abides in me will produce much fruit. And then he went on to say, conversely, that if you don't abide in me, essentially, you can't do anything. You can't do nothing without abiding in me. Abide in Jesus every single day of our lives. That's what we have to do to produce this agape love. Because the Holy Spirit within us, as we are abiding in him, he will let that just flow. As we impact the world around us, as we interact with people, as we touch them, as we talk to them, as we are just brushing shoulders. Remember, Pastor Dave always says, contact with the world, but without contamination. That's what we are called to do. We can't just huddle in here and expect something to happen out there. We have to go. We have to go out there. We have to go into the world. We have to do something. Remember, love is an action. We have to do something, just like God did. We have to give out that love to a lost world. Jesus said, I am the vine. Without abiding in the vine, we can do nothing. In verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, Jesus, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Now, this verse was like, it had me stumped for a minute, and I was looking it up and whatever, and it says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." Have boldness in the day of judgment. So think of it like this. When we die and we stand before the Lord, we could have the boldness that as Jesus is, so are we. That we're going to be clean. That we're going to be pure. That we are going to be wiped. That all of our sins right now have been wiped clean. And that we will stand before him one day guiltless before the throne. That he will say to us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." That we can have that boldness. I don't know if I should confess this, but I got a speeding ticket recently, and I had to go to court, and so I called a lawyer friend of mine, and I was like, "Hey, man, I got this ticket, whatever, and so on and so forth." And he's like, "All right, go in there and find out who the prosecuting attorney is at that time, because that's how they did traffic court in this town. You just do this, and they already have it squared away, so when you go in before the judge, the decision's already made. They could just kind of, speed up the process." So I go in there, find out what his name is, and then I go back out, call him, and I'm like, "Hey, man, it's so-and-so. All right, just go in there, tell him my name, did this, they'll get it done, whatever." So I'm waiting in line, and it was ridiculous. There's so many people that speed. No one here speeds, right? I didn't think so. I mean, it's actually about a quantity of people like the size of this room. It's crazy how many people speed. But anyway, so I'm waiting there, get my turn up. He calls me up, Michael Passantino. "Yeah, come on up." Okay. So I go up there, and I'm just like, I'm bold. I'm bold in judgment, because it's like, as soon as this guy's done giving me his spiel and whatever he wants to bargain, I'm just going to be like, "All right, name drop. He said this. You got me. All right, cool. We're good. I'll see ya." And that's kind of how it went. He's like, "All right, we're ready to do this. It'll be, this many points, et cetera. This is fine. That's up to the judge, how he's feeling today, et cetera, et cetera." I was like, "Yeah, so-and-so, right?" "Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah, okay, yeah, he's my neighbor, whatever, I know him, good family friend, whatever. He said that I could just talk to you and you just take care of it, I'd like it just to be a parking ticket." I almost demanded, "Yeah, I'll just take a parking ticket, I'm good, side salad, parking ticket, I'm good, I'm out of here." So it's like, he's like, "Okay, all right, perfect, whatever." But I had, that boldness before him in before judgment, I was being judged right there for the speeding ticket that I committed. All right, and I had the boldness because it's like I knew somebody, whatever. I mean, I'm sure, you guys get it. I mean, that's not wrong to know somebody and get out of a parking ticket. Stop looking at me like that. So it's like whatever, I got out of it. But I had boldness, and that's kind of like what he's saying right here is when you stand before your judge, you have the boldness to know that he's your father, that he's your father. So you can go up to him when he comes up to you and he calls your name forward, and it's just like, hey, Dad. Because the Bible says that he gives us when we are reborn, that spirit within us cries out, "Abba, Father, Papa." It's a term of endearment. We can call him Papa. And he looks at us like a father would. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on in." We don't have to worry. We can have boldness because there is no fear in love. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, agape love that God produces, that God has towards humanity. There's no fear attached to that. This is not speaking of reverential fear that we are to carry with us when we look to God, a fear of respect, a fear of respect, of reverence. This isn't that fear. This is a fear of torment. This is a fear that I get if, I even see a commercial for a scary movie. I can't sleep for 3 weeks. It's terrible. This is not that fear. This is that fear that he's saying there isn't any of that. That's what he's saying. There's none of that in love. But perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. There's no torment associated or attached to God's love towards us. It's not there. There's none of it. And it says that he that fears, he that has that tormenting fear of oh my gosh, God's going to get me today. Oh my gosh, I did this, I did that. God's going to get me. That type of fear, it says right here, that person who feels that way is not made perfect in love. But I'm guilty of that, guys. I'm just going to confess that to you. I'm not saying that in a way that, if you feel that way, oh my gosh, you got to get your life together. No, that's not what I'm saying. I feel that way sometimes because I get like that. I get like that. I think oh my gosh, oh my goodness, I did that or I didn't do that or whatever. And it's like, God's going to get me. God's mad at me. No, there's no fear in love. perfect love, the perfect love that God has for us, the perfect love that God has for lost humanity out in that world, it casts out all fear. And you know what else we don't have to be afraid of and tormented by? The culture today. What's going on in this world? Society. We are being bombarded every single day with so many things that could cause us to fear. Another school shooting. It's crazy. And we've gotten so desensitized, and we're guilty of that. I am, at least, where you just, man, it's another school shooting. Did it happen around here? Okay, good, we're good. Okay, yeah, okay. But no, that's not, there's no, but we don't, see, here's the thing. We don't have to be tormented by the thought of, if I go out to the store, the mall, my kids go to school. We don't have to live in that fear because our Father loves us, and we can have confidence in that. No one knows when it's our last day. Only Jesus does. And how he deems fit for us to go home to be with him is not something that we can contest. It's just how it is. Do we understand it? No, we don't understand why things like this happen, except for the fact that we know that we are living in a sin-fallen world and that this is not what Jesus intended. That sin is running rampant. That the free will of man, we're seeing it. And guys, beloved, don't get caught up in debates about things that don't matter. Don't. Because it's not a political issue, it's not a gun issue, it's none of that. It's an issue of the heart. It's an issue of our hearts. And who are we to tell another sinful, fallen person over the internet or at a family party that, you know, like they're wrong for thinking this and that, this and that and all arrogant and whatnot? No, it's we got to produce that love. We have to produce that love. It's an issue of the heart. None of this stuff is going to get changed. It's just not. We're living in the last days, guys. We're living in these last days. It's not going to change. It's an issue of the heart. That's what it is. I'm sure of it. But we don't have to live in fear of anything like that. We don't have to. If you have that, ask God to take that away from you. And he will. He will be faithful. He will be faithful to give you peace that passes all understanding. So that when you see, you know, when you see stuff like this happening, you can ask God to give you a peace and a comfort to just have that security that, like, God, your will be done in my life. Protect my family. Protect my loved ones. You love me. I don't have to live in fear. Because we can't. We can't live in fear. We can't close our, you know, we can't just stay behind closed doors and never go out there. We're never going to reach anyone. We gotta affect this world. Because remember, if this is a matter of people's sinful, fallen hearts, we have the answer. We have the cure. It's not legislation. It's Jesus. Jesus is what's going to save this world. Jesus is what's going to save fallen man. It's the only thing. It's the only thing that ever could. It's the only thing that ever will. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Remember Romans 5:8. God loved us even when we were sinners. When we were enemies against him, he loved us. You know, Pastor David says it all the time. The old proverb or whatever it is for ancient Jewish rabbis. God loves us because he loves us. Period. That's it. He has that unconditional, that highest form of love that is birthed from him, that originates for him. He has that towards us simply because he has it. And we can rest in that. We can rest in that. Verse 20, if a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, get this, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Remember what James said when he was talking about the destruction of the tongue and what it does to us? Right? He said, well, that was weird. He said, how can you bless God out of one side of your mouth and then curse man who is made in God's image? That's convicting. For me it is. Because how many times am I driving on the road and like, oh man, curse you, bro. Like that's how you, like, it's like, man, it's like you want to know like loving people is hard in and of yourself. Just go drive. Just go take like an hour-long drive during rush hour traffic in the morning and just, you know, give yourself a test. Like, I got this agape love. I can do this thing on my own. No, you can't. Because someone's going to be riding that lane that merges all the way to the end, and you're going to be right there, and it's going to set you back another 2 minutes, and it's like, oh, man, what the heck? Oh, this person's not going to use their blinker or that whole thing, and then you're just going to be got worship music on. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Here's my heart, Lord. What are you doing, man? What are you doing? It was me today. It's like, come on. But if we say that we love God and we curse our brother, the love of God doesn't dwell within us. And that's like a constant, a perpetual just like cursing of your brother constantly on a daily basis. Like, you know, it's just like, I love God, but I hate his people. You know, that whole attitude, that whole mindset. Or I love God, but I hate humanity. Oh my gosh, this and that. No, that's not what the love of God is. Agape love is unconditional. Agape love loves when the object of the love that's being is the recipient of that love doesn't love you back. Romans 5:8, right? Even when we were in sin and when we were at enmity with God, he sent his son and he demonstrated his love towards us. And he sent him for us to die in place of our sins. The demonstration of our love towards God will be our love to one another and the love to this lost world. The demonstration of our love towards God will be our love to one another and the love to this lost world. It's true. Verse 21, we're almost finished here. And this commandment have we from him. John got this commandment right from Jesus. So he can say this boldly. He can say this emphatically. This commandment we have directly from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. Again, we have to ask ourselves, you know, how do we respond when we hear of our brothers and sisters as they fall or as stuff happens out in this world? How are we responding? Yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, of course, when stuff like this goes wrong or stuff like this happens out in the world, it's like it's sickening. It's like, man, like, what the heck? And I think that there are absolutely instances where capital punishment and you know, the judgment that they deserve, they should have on this side of eternity. I am 100% believe that God believed it. God instituted it in the Old Testament. But I think that, you know, if we're living in a way where it's like, you know what, man, like, I'm just constantly, like, hating people. It's like, no, that's not gonna demonstrate our love. That's not gonna demonstrate the love of Christ that we have towards people. When we hear of somebody falling back into something or whatever, how do we react? Or if someone's been away for a little while and then they come back, where have you been, brother? Sister, what have you been up to? Oh my gosh, man, I saw your pictures on social media. How are we reacting? No, or are we saying, hey man, it's great to see you, man. Great to see you. And just letting it be and let the love of God just permeate through us. That's what the love of God looks like as we walk with one another. So I charge you guys tonight, beloved, just as John did, because I believe that God looks at us tonight and he says, beloved, my little children, love one another. Love one another. But not just in word, but in deed. Because here's the thing, and I'll wrap it up with this. Hey, again, sorry. In Matthew 24, Jesus says that the love of many will wax cold because lawlessness abounds, speaking in the last days. Okay, here's something. The love of many will wax cold. I don't believe that is referring to the love of the lost world and just the way that they look at people and just the way that they love out there. Because the word that Jesus used in that, I think it's a very rare instance where Jesus uses it as like a noun form referring to people and how they love. It's agape, right? So remember what we just learned. Agape love only is produced through the Holy Spirit that lives within us, right? So that means then I think this. You know, take this up with the Lord. Ask him to reveal to you what he might want to minister to you. But I think that Jesus is saying this is beware. Because in the last days, the agape love that I am giving to you, my children, it's going to begin to wax cold. And it's going to begin to wax cold in Christians. And there's going to be Christians who were starting, man, I think of Billy Graham, man, who finished his race strong. Man, what a great man of God. This nation may never see another man like him. And how much more on us to be praying for this nation. But it says, Jesus says that in the last days, the love, the agape of many will wax cold The agape love, not the phileo, not the storge, not the eros, not that love, but the love that's greater than all other loves, the agape that is only produced from God. Christians who have the Holy Spirit within them, who are abiding in the vine and letting that fruit of love permeate through them, it's going to begin to wax cold. So I ask you to examine your heart daily with the Lord, as I ask the Lord to prompt me to as well. Lord, is my agape love that you are producing in my life waxing cold? Is it beginning to wax cold in any area? If it is, fill me with your Spirit and show me. 1 Peter 4:7-8, I'll leave you guys with this. The worship team can come. 1 Peter 4:7-8, let me turn to it real quick. It says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watchful unto prayer. And above all things, above everything else, have fervent," here's our word, "charity, love, agape among yourselves." Because here's why. Love covers a multitude of sins. Peter says that in the last days, be watchful, be sober. There's no time to mess around. Stay awake, be sober, be praying. Especially now that we have, you know, we see a man like Billy Graham ushered into the Lord. Now it's time for us as Christians, as the church, to rise up and pray. To pray for this lost world. To be loving one another. And to be going all out for him. He's coming back, church, very soon. It's evident. The signs are before us. The signs are here. Be watchful, be aware, be praying, and love one another. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this night, God. We ask, Lord, that you would work this within each of us, Lord, tonight. I ask you, Lord, to start with me. Lord, help me to abide in you. Help us to abide in you, Jesus, the only true vine. That this love that comes from you, Lord, that it would be produced in our lives on a daily basis. That we would be used by you, Lord, to reach a lost world around us, God. That our loved ones, our family members, our friends, our coworkers, they would see the difference in us, Lord. That no matter how hard or how bad they wrong us, Lord, that we would continue to love on them. And that they would be one for you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you're coming to get us, Lord. We thank you that you rose from the grave so we too will rise in that day, Lord. Pray that you would give us safe traveling mercies home, wake us up, ready to meet with you again, finish out the rest of this week, bring us back on Sunday, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.